The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Section. Why Workers Must Lead. Workers have time and again brought their concentrated power to bear in bringing down unpopular, oppressive regimes. The tremendous power of black workers in South Africa was the most important factor in the downfall of apartheid, the system of racial separation and white supremacy. Strikes by Iranian oil workers were key to bringing down the Shah of Iran in 1979. In 2003, miners in Bolivia played an important role in bringing down hated neoliberal president Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozada. Yet, in all these cases, while workers may have plowed the ground, others gathered the fruits of victory or succeeded in limiting the horizons of change. The struggle, in most cases, united a variety of different social and class forces that were agreed upon what they opposed, but not on what they were for. In South Africa, a combination of armed struggle, mass protests, and strikes, under the leadership of the African National Congress, ANC, was able to finally bring an end to apartheid. The ANC's 1955 Freedom Charter stated, "South Africa belongs to all who live in it, black and white." But the ANC was not prepared to go beyond this basic democratic goal. The charter, insisted the ANC's chief leader, Nelson Mandela, aimed not at socialism, but rather the transfer of power, quote, "the transfer of power to all the people of this country, be they workers, peasants, professional men, or petty bourgeoisie," end quote. As for capitalism, the ANC sought to open fresh fields for the development of a prosperous non-European bourgeois class with the end of apartheid. Its commitment to the continuation of capitalism in South Africa meant that many of the issues which brought the masses of black South Africans to rebel, lack of housing and basic services, unemployment, landlessness, and severe exploitation at the hands of multinationals, continue today under a black majority government. Ashwin Desai describes how Mandela, some 2 months after his election as South Africa's first black president, emphasized his government's commitment to job security, accessible health care, and affordable education. 10 years later, ANC stalwart and South African president Thabo Mbeki was singing a different tune, pushing a program promoting free market deregulation and, quote, "fiscal discipline." The new program, whose acronym was GEAR, operated as a homegrown structural adjustment program. Markets were opened, taxes to the rich were cut, state assets were privatized, services were commodified, and social spending was reduced. Small wonder that Pamela Cox, head of the South Africa division of the World Bank, enthused what they, the ANC, have done to put South Africa on a right footing is, I think, almost miraculous. End quote. Workers have an interest in taking the fight for a better society further than middle-class forces that want to limit the struggle to a set of more or less limited reforms that leave the economic system of exploitation intact. If they are not to play an auxiliary role, providing the muscle while other classes reap most of the rewards, then workers must be organized politically as a class capable of asserting themselves independently. But in doing so, workers must be able to present a social and political program of change capable of leading all the exploited and oppressed in society. Writing a few months after the outbreak of the 1905 revolution, Lenin warned, quote, "The outcome of the revolution depends on whether the working class will play the part of a subsidiary to the bourgeoisie, a subsidiary that is powerful in the force of its onslaught against the autocracy, but impotent politically, or whether it will play the part of a leader of the people's revolution." End quote. Though feudal autocracy has long since disappeared, Lenin's formula still applies to the struggle against tyranny today. Are workers to play a subsidiary role or a leading role in struggles against national oppression, the fight against military dictatorship, or any other fight that brings disparate class elements together against some aspect of the status quo? Is the struggle, in other words, to end in limited reforms or in complete emancipation? Liberals and reformists who look to limit demands to what is possible within the framework of capitalism turn this question on its head, claiming that workers' interests are narrowly economic, while the movement must be broad and encompass the interests of all so-called sectors. There is nothing wrong with broad forces uniting to fight for limited demands. The problem comes when, in the name of broad unity, the moderates use the cry of unity to prevent anyone from taking the struggle further. In the name of broadening the fight, its aims are then narrowed, and further progress is truncated or even abandoned. "The Bush administration is a right-wing authoritarian regime," explained Communist Party USA National Chair Sam Webb in his opening remarks to Party Congress in 2005. "And broad sections of the labor movement, center forces, social democrats, social reformists, liberals, even some Republicans, are opposing its policies and battling capitalist globalization as well. Don't we have to unite with them," he concluded, "in fighting policies of the Bush administration?" End quote. The need to preserve a grand coalition such as this requires that everyone hold their tongue on gay rights, immigration rights, workers' rights, or any other rights that might frighten away the bourgeois and conservative members of the coalition. Similarly, during the Second World War, the CP's ardent commitment to a People's Front with the Democratic Party and Roosevelt's alliance with Stalin led it to support a wartime no-strike pledge and the internment of 120,000 people of Japanese descent, calling the latter, quote, "a necessary war measure." Business Week in 1944 lauded the CP as, quote, "the most vigorous proponents of labor management cooperation." End quote. Revolutionaries, on the other hand, have always sought to build a workers' movement in which the working class takes the lead, not only in fights for better wages and conditions, but in the fight against all forms of tyranny and oppression, from racism to women's inequality. When socialists talk about workers' power, we aren't talking simply about the impact of a well-placed strike, that is, the relative social weight that workers hold in the process of production. We're talking about the need for the working class to play an independent and leading role in the struggle if we're to turn the fight into one against the system in its entirety. Socialism doesn't arise automatically from the class struggle. Workers can play the crucial role in a revolution, but without political organization, they can find their interests sidelined. Unless workers organize as an independent force that fights for their aims, the struggle can only go so far. And they cannot play this role unless they are organized as a class and capable of using their concerted power in the interests of all the exploited and oppressed. Marx learned this during the revolutions that swept Europe in 1848. The democratic petty bourgeois, he wrote, far from wanting to transform the whole of society in the interests of the revolutionary proletarians, only aspire to a change in social conditions which will make the existing society as tolerable and comfortable for themselves as possible. End quote. The working class, therefore, had to be organized into an independent political party that would march with the petty bourgeois democrats against the old autocratic regimes, but would, quote, oppose them in everything whereby they seek to consolidate their position in their own interests, end quote. It is our interest and our task, Marx and Engels concluded, quote, to make the revolution permanent, until all more or less possessing classes have been forced out of their position of dominance. The proletariat has conquered state power. And the association of proletarians, not only in one country, but in all the dominant countries of the world, has advanced so far that competition among the proletarians in these countries has ceased, and that at least the decisive productive forces are concentrated in the hands of the proletariat. For us, the issue cannot be the alteration of private property, but only its annihilation. Not the smoothing over of class antagonisms, but the abolition of classes. Not the improvement of existing society, but the foundation of a new one. End quote and end of section.